This is a podcast from Minute Media.
Hey everybody, welcome to Netflix Life, a streaming TV podcast from Fansided. I'm Bryce Olin. I'm joined by my co-host, Cody Schultz. We've got another great episode for you today. We're going to be talking about our favorite Netflix ships of 2021. And no, we're not talking about boats or space shuttles. It's all about relationships. But first, Cody, you've got some big manifest news to share. So take it away.
Yeah, so I think Matt Long is becoming like our favorite person just because it's so hard to get updates, but he has dropped a few spoilers in his Instagram comments, which is just exciting to see for fans. So the first is that he kind of confirmed he'll be in a majority of the episodes, which I think we already anticipated and talked about when NBC passed on his pilot. The assumption was that this would free him up to, you know, be in the show as a regular as he was in the first three seasons. So the fact that he kind of confirmed that he's going to be in the majority, I think, is a plus. The interesting stuff came in when he kind of confirmed they are going to do the 20 episodes in two batches, which we kind of have been anticipating, like, how are they going to break these episodes down? And he also mentioned to one user that they're likely going to drop the first 10 episodes in fall or winter of 2022, which I feel like is the first time anyone's talked candidly about, like, a possible release date. We've theorized about it, like, when it could possibly come, when might Netflix try to rush it out just to kind of, you know, capitalize on the momentum. And I'm very curious if they do end up going with the fall and winter date. It makes sense. We haven't really looked that far in advance to next year. On the, you know, downside, though, that means we're going to be waiting a long time for those first episodes.
Yeah, so it sounds like if they're going to do that, they'll probably film all 20 and then drop them in batches. I feel like that because they just started production this fall. So you'd think that they would have enough time to do all 20 episodes by next year, or at least the first, you know, 15, 18, right? Matt Long, hate to break it to you, man. Better be a little more quiet about the release date stuff. Netflix, I'm sure Netflix called his people, right? They had to. They're like, don't, you're Netflix now. You're at Netflix. You can't just be saying this stuff. We keep this very secret, right?
Yeah, I feel like it's definitely a different ballgame when it's a streaming show, because of course with like broadcast, you've got your big seasons. You're either fall, your fall, your mid season, like which is typically spring, sometimes January, or you're a summer show. And so with Netflix, they're much more secretive about their releases. Like, of course, everyone knows what NBC's fall shows are, their mid seasons. Netflix keeps us on their toes, and I feel like whenever like cast members, and you see it more as like the seasons go by, like they start to get more polished with not giving away information and all that. And so maybe this was him throwing like us off. Like maybe they're going to like, oh, we've got to wait that long. And then like, it'll be a surprise. It's coming in spring or something like that. But I love the candidness there, like getting some spoilers and kind of, even if we don't know, like, could he be, you know, throwing us off the scent, because there's been plenty of actors who have done that, smartly, just to get fans like talking, and then like, you know, surprise, it's actually this. And I hope he kind of like, I'll be watching his Instagram even more closely now just to see like what other, you know, tea he might spill. And he's definitely, you know, quickly become a fan favorite here at Netflix Life.
Well, it's weird. I can't say for sure that Netflix is like, hey, you better zip it about the release date. It just is weird that no one, you know, say Outer Banks, you know, like we haven't heard anything from the cast about season three. No, like, yep, season three is happening. No likes of tweets about it. The whole cast has been very like, you know, on the same page about. So it makes me wonder like, oh, maybe they say like, do not say anything, because they're also not campaigning for a renewal anymore, which makes you think, okay, something has happened behind the scenes. This is not just me talking about Outer Banks again. I'm using it as an example. But it is interesting that like when actors are like more candid, like I know a Stranger Things, I think it was Sherman Augustus, who was a new character or new cast member for Stranger Things season four, said that production, he said this back in beginning 2021, that they were going to keep filming through August. And we at that time were like, oh no, like that means that it's not coming till 2022. And he was exactly right. And he, like, they filmed all the way through, I think, into September, and then wrapped, and he, in January or whatever, knew that that was going to happen, but no one else said anything about it, it was just him. So it makes me wonder, like, does everyone know, is this just, like, an unwritten rules policy of, like, don't talk about it? It's like Fight Club, I don't know, but it's interesting to see that, like, there's so much camaraderie among the Netflix stars to not give anything away, and it makes me wonder why. I will step down off the soapbox now.
Yeah, and I mean, I think it is an interesting thing. I feel like it does maybe vary. I feel like I can't remember looking back at Lucifer's, like, that first season they aired, because it seems like forever ago, like, how much the cast was open then compared to, like, later seasons. Of course, they became very secretive of, like, knowing they had to keep, like, certain things, like the release dates and that, and, like, even when trailers would be coming under wraps. But I can't remember how they were really in season four, like, that first season. But it's an adjustment, and hey, there's nothing wrong with giving us some teasers like that. I feel like that only helps build anticipation. Like, of course, could it call, like, if there's a delay, then people are like, well, wait a minute, you said fall or winter. But I feel like it's just give something fans to count down and just be even more excited about.
Even if they don't want us to share it publicly, just send us a DM or an email. We won't say anything. Shh. let's see. So that's Manifest. Possibly new episodes coming fall or winter 2022. Should we talk about the biggest ships of the year now?
Yeah, I can't wait to dive into some of these. I feel like they maybe skew a little bit towards some of our favorites, but hey, that's why they're the best, right?
Yeah, and this is our podcast. So if you don't like it, go start your own podcast. Just kidding. let's see. I think we have to start it. There's only one. It's got to be Decker Star, right?
Yeah, I feel like when you look at, like, the Netflix ships, it's hard not to say, like, the Decker Star is probably the biggest ship that Netflix has had in a while. I feel like this is the one that fans are most passionate about. Of course, we've got ships on, like, Stranger Things and different shows, but there's just nothing quite like Decker Star fans. Like, and this was even rooted when the show was on Fox, and I feel like Netflix just fed the fans even more. Like, they really leaned into it and gave us so many, like, incredible moments. And even in, like, the final season, like, did I like necessarily, like, the ending there with, like, they couldn't necessarily live, like, share their life on Earth because of the whole, like, time travel circle thing. I don't know. The butterfly effect, whatever you want to call it. But they got a good ending still. And I just think this was such a good ship. And that's not to say, of course, Lucifer had other great ships as well. Of course, everyone, we loved Maze and Eve. Amenadiel and Linda were good. There were so many good relationships on the show over the years. But there's nothing quite like Decker Star.
I know, it's interesting, like, the show about Lucifer and all of that stuff, and, like, all the angels and stuff, like, the thing that this show had going was just, like, how great of a love story this was. And it started out, was it the first episode that they really started this? And it just went on and on and on, and six seasons later, man, we have it. Like, I don't know, to keep that going without just doing, like, the Jim and Pam and just, like, put them together in, like, season three and then, like, just, like, let that ride after is interesting. Like, how they were able to keep it going for so long, I feel like, is, like, a testament to how good these people are as writers, storytellers, and then the performers, obviously, too. So I do not disagree with this one at all. I feel like that if you're just looking at it, it's probably the top ship on Netflix, right? Is that fair?
Yeah, and definitely, like, the most recognizable. Like, I feel like you say Decker Star, like, even if you're not, like, a big Lucifer fan, which, start watching season 1 through 6, they're on Netflix now, you know Decker Star. And that's kind of, like, I feel like they've got good names just in general. Like, Lucifans is, like, a perfect name for the fandom. And so that's one I love. But there's no better way to, I think, transition to another, from that ship to one of our, you know, favorite shows, which is the ships on Outer Banks. Who would you say is, like, the best Outer Banks ship?
Well, it's hard because I feel like in other Outer Banks fans probably disagree, or they might agree with this. I don't know. But John B. and Sarah obviously would be the top one because they start out and it's like the two people from different worlds, and then they, you know, come together and, like, there's some, like, betrayal among the Pogues because they don't like Sarah, et cetera, et cetera. And then we know that this is real love. Then you take it a step further and you have, like, Madeline Klein and Chase Stokes were together in real life. Now they're broken up. Then there was rumors that they were back together, but now they're just friends. Chatelaine, is no longer, but John B and Sarah will probably be together. I feel like that they are endgame. The other one that I keep reading about, though, is Key and JJ. So there was the Key and Pope storyline for, like, was that season one? And then in season two, they kind of did it a little bit. But, like, throughout the whole show, there's been, like, that the Key and JJ relationship has been one that I feel like fans have been, like, really, really wanting those characters to get together. So we already have one that's already together. And I think that Key and JJ are kind of replacing, like, the John B and Sarah thing, even though we did have a John B and Sarah scare in season two where they technically got divorced. Sorry, I had to. And then got back together. So what do you think? Did I nail it or did I nail it?
Yeah, I think I can't add anything else other than I feel like we also forgot to mention Vlad and Val, of course.
Oh, no.
I love that they had, like, alter egos. Of course, if you haven't watched, that's John B and Sarah's, like, on the run alter ego, like, names and aliases and all that. But I really do think it's such a fun, like, I'm surprised there's not, like, big ship names for any of the OBX ones. Like, when I look through them, like, I have to rack my brain. I'm like, am I just forgetting my bad fam? And I'm like, we really haven't coined any big ship names for this one. And I'm kind of surprised because this show, there's so many good ones. Because even, like you said, like, with Key and JJ, like, they also played around with, like, Key and Pope. And so they had, like, that little love triangle thing going on, like, those. And they just have really good relationship dynamics on this show is, like, the key takeaway, which we could talk Outer Banks.
I just got one. I just came up with one. Can we call him KJ? Is anyone calling him KJ? Because if we're not, we need to. It's KJ. If you're talking about Key and JJ from now on, just across the board. They do the relationship dynamics really well. That's I'm excited to see that in future seasons. Sorry, I interrupted you, but I had to.
When you say KJ, all I'm going to think of is KJ Apa, though, from Riverdale.
Oh, no. Yeah, that's confusing. We'll keep working on it. Let's keep working on it.
We'll workshop it.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. For 2022 episodes, we'll come up with something for you guys. I think you were about to talk about Virgin River, though, weren't you?
Yeah, which is kind of a funny one to pivot into, which is Mel and Jack. I feel like, of course, without mentioning ships, like, they're one of the strongest going. And it's weird saying, like, their strongest going because they face so many obstacles. And I guess we don't know, in theory, what's next for them with how season three ended and the whole pregnancy situation and, like, not knowing who's the baby daddy and, like, what the future is. But I think Mel and Jack are endgame. I'm also curious why they don't have a ship name. Like, how is that possible? Like, I feel like we need a name. We need to give them a ship name and, like, just start using it, like, constantly.
I've got a couple, like, obviously we could do Mac, because Mel and Jack, again, confusing, but I think Jamel works better, so it's Jack and then Mel, like, so then, does that make sense, like, camel with a J in front? Yeah? Are you in?
I sort of love that one. I want to just, like, I'm, like, envisioning, like, that's just, we're going to start tweeting it out, that'll be the official thing, Jamel, and then we'll just see if it catches on.
I have a feeling that one won't catch on. I have a feeling I'm really bad at this, but I think that I'm good at it. So I'm just going to keep it rolling. No, but I think you're right. I think Mel and Jack are definitely in game. It'll be interesting to see how many seasons this runs because there's like 20 books or something like that. So what's next for there? You know, are we going to keep doing the will they, won't they thing for a long time? Or are we going to solidify this relationship at some point in time? What do you think?
Yeah, I feel like we're going to reach a point where, of course, like, one of the best things about Virgin River is that kind of, like, relationship drama stuff. But I feel like as we're, you know, heading into season four, we know season five's coming. Like, I feel like we're going to reach a point soon where they go all in on Mel and Jack and really just kind of, like, of course, they're going to be ups and downs. But I think they'll make it to where, like, it's not a matter of, like, are they going to go their separate way? It'll just be, like, how do they get over these different obstacles together now? I also thought of what we were talking, like, would Jackal be that?
Yeah, that's a, I don't know, maybe. Someone more creative than us come up with something. What else do we got, though? We've got Never Have I Ever is another good show for ships, right?
Yeah, I feel like this is another good one. Of course, like, the big ship there is, I hope I pronounce it right, is Daxton, which is Davy and Paxton, which... This one, I couldn't find another name. Of course, the other big ship there is Davy and Ben. And I couldn't find, like, a solid ship name for Davy and Ben, which makes me ask, Does that mean Davey and Paxton are endgame just by default?
I think so. I think that that's the rules of shipping. If you come up with a name, you're sworn, you're bound together. Or if you have nicknames for each other, like John B. and Sarah and the Vlad and Val or whatever, I think that means that you're together forever. No one can come back from something that cringeworthy on their own. Sorry.
Yeah, this one, it's one of those ones, like, this show does a really good job of having that, like, love triangle storyline going, because there's been parts with across the first two seasons that I've found myself rooting for, like, both guys, and I'm like, I don't know who I want, like, her to end up with, because it's like there's certain aspects of each character, and so I feel like that always comes down to, like, that's when you know you've got good writing, is when the audiences are torn. Of course you're gonna have your passionate shippers on both sides, but when you've got the people like me who are like, well, wait a minute, I like this, and then they go and do something else story-wise, and so I think this will be an interesting to see, but I'm just excited we have season 3 will be coming at some point, hopefully in 2022, I think is the anticipation. Mm-hmm. And we can see what comes next for all three of the characters at that point.
Agreed. I think that they just started filming, or they will start filming in, is it November or December? Something like that. I saw a report that they were starting. So good news there for Never Have I Ever. The other one on our list is Darklina, which is from Shadow and Bone, obviously. It's Alina and the Darkling. I don't want to get into this one too much because spoilers, you know? I know what happens in the books, so I don't want to, you know, go there. But the memes for the Darklina stuff and about Ben Barnes, I will say, chef's kiss. You guys are really good at these. Keep them coming. They make me laugh. We can move on to Barchi, though. I feel like that this is technically not a Netflix ship, but it really is, because Riverdale is more or less a Netflix show. I think we can agree, right?
Yeah, Riverdale really was saved by Netflix. Like, the first season, you had, like, the OGs who, like, watched the first season live on the CW, myself included there. And then it felt like a whole other audience once it hit on Netflix. And I'm so thankful it did, because as someone who watched it, the ratings weren't the best season one. And so there was a big question of, like, is it going to continue? But then it dropped on Netflix and became this huge hit. And, you know, CW, I don't know how they get, like, those viewership numbers from Netflix. But they obviously saw there was potential there. And then when season two premiered on the CW, the ratings were up, like, huge. Like, I can't even remember how big of the gap it was, like, growth-wise. And so to say Bart, like, to have a fandoms list and have a list of, like, the best ships and not include Barchi, I'm sure Bughead fans are going to be like, wait, what are you doing? But I think we've kind of gone in all in on Barchi, kind of raised the Barchi flag here and, like, made it very clear that, like, that's who we think is going to be Endgame. And as someone who's vaguely familiar with the comics, like, it makes sense. Betty and Archie were, of course, in the comics, you know, inseparable. And I don't even know if they ever did, like, a storyline, like, the initial ones. I know they started to do, like, spinoffs and all that. I'm not quite as familiar with, but I don't even know if the originals did, like, a Bughead and Betty. I think I just called him Bughead instead of Chughead.
Yeah, you did. It's fine, though. We all know what you're talking about. No, I agree. I think if you had to pick from this list, we're almost out of time, but if you had to pick, who are you going with? Dekker Star? Is that your pick?
Yeah, there's just no other couple and ship on this show that, like, I just rooted for them. Like, when they were in their ups and, like, in their downs, I should say, it was like I was yelling at my screen, like, don't you dare, like, hurt me, Netflix. Like, I need them together. So I feel like that has to be my favorite of the ships.
I'll go with John B. and Sarah but I agree about Dekker Star. I feel like that there's so much passion behind that one, especially, and then with everything with the show. Barchi's good too, though. I'm with Barchi now. I'm officially a Barchi, so. I guess we're out of time, though. Thanks, everyone, for listening, and we'll see you all next time.